Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Special funding for the podcast of On Point is provided by Boston University School of Law, dedicated to excellence in teaching and to preparing lawyers for global challenges.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. You've heard the charges before, that after 9/11, the Bush administration flouted the law, used torture, spied on Americans, and treated the Constitution like a doormat. It's been talked over pretty thoroughly. Many Americans are ready to move on. But some say that would be a serious mistake. They say, bottom line, Bush administration officials broke the law, committed crimes, and should be put on trial for the sake of preserving law itself. It is a loaded subject. This hour on Point, we listen to the case for prosecution and the case against it. You're going to hear more about this in this country before we hear less, so we're deciding just to jump straight into it today. If you think something more isn't coming, listen to this. This is last June, Eric Holder, President-elect Obama's now pick to be the next U.S. Attorney General, gave a speech before the American Constitution Society. He didn't exactly call for prosecution of Bush administration officials, but he was pretty clear in his opinion laws were broken and the American people are owed a reckoning. Let's listen.
Our government authorized the use of torture, approved of secret electronic surveillance of American citizens, secretly detained American citizens without due process of law, denied the writ of habeas corpus to hundreds of accused enemy combatants, and authorized the use of procedures that violate both international law and the United States Constitution. Now, I do not question the motives, the patriotism of those responsible for these policies, but this does nothing to mitigate the fact that these steps were wrong when they were initiated and they are wrong today. We owe the American people a reckoning.
Eric Holder, last June, the man now in line to be Attorney General of the United States. The debate over prosecution is red hot, and trying to listen in can be like drinking water from a fire hose. But we're going to hear three different views on this, and we'll ask each of them to make the best case, clearly and calmly, I hope. First, calling for prosecutions of Bush administration officials is Scott Horton. He's a distinguished visiting professor at Hofstra Law School and contributing editor at Harper's Magazine. His article, Justice After Bush Prosecuting an Outlaw Administration, appeared in the December issue of the magazine. Scott Horton, thanks very much for being here.
It's great to be with you, Tom.
What crimes, and why do you say moving on is not an option?
Well, I think the most significant crime, although you listened to Eric Holder list quite a few of them right there, but the most significant one is torture and the abuse of detainees in the war on terror. Why? Because the rejection of torture is a definitional value for the United States. It's a principle our country was founded on, going back to George Washington in 1776 when he issued orders that prisoners were to be treated with humanity and torture was never to occur. Our republic is founded on a notion of respect for the basic dignity of human beings. And our law, our criminal law, makes torture a felony. So we saw a radical deviation from that law in the Bush administration. We saw a conscious decision to introduce torture by the administration. And just in the course of the last few weeks, the Senate Armed Services Committee, with the support of all 12 Republican members and the explicit endorsement of John McCain, the Republican candidate for president, reviewed the situation, found that it was a conscious decision by the administration to introduce these abusive techniques, and found a direct connection between the policy decisions the administration took and the abuses that occurred in Guantanamo, Abu Ghraib, and in other prisons in connection with the war on terror.
Scott Horton, we will go into the details, and we're going to hear pushback on them, strong pushback. But let me ask you first, you make really a bigger case here. You say that the Bush administration did more than commit crimes. It waged war against the law itself. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think if we look at a series of decisions, so you see the introduction of torture, we see the process of surveillance, In all these cases, there are criminal statutes on the book in the United States that set the guidelines for how the United States can go about surveillance and for the procedures to be used in dealing with prisoners in intelligence interrogation. They're criminal statutes, and the administration decided not to comply with these statutes. It did not go to Congress and ask for a modification of the statutes. Instead, deep in the bowels of the Justice Department, it had political hack lawyers in the Office of Legal Counsel craft opinions telling us that the law was not the law.
Now but you've got a longer list here, and it's what I'm trying to point to that, interestingly, you don't ask for criminal prosecution on, maybe because you don't think it's there. But you say the Bush administration turned the Justice Department into a vehicle for voter suppression, summarily dismissed U.S. attorneys who attempted to investigate wrongdoing, spied on church groups and political protesters, introduced sweeping surveillance program that was clearly illegal, and on. But the one point that you say must be prosecuted, torture, does that mean the rest is not prosecutable?
Well, in fact, we have an ongoing criminal investigation focusing on some of this already. What went on inside the Department of Justice, the cashiering of the U.S. attorneys, is the subject of a criminal probe right now, and charges may come out of that. But I think a prosecutor looking at the wrongdoing by this administration would have to make certain choices, would have to pick the most compelling crimes, and may not prosecute all of them. In fact, that's a favorite saying of Michael Mukasey. When he's justified his refusal to appoint prosecutors, he says, not every crime is prosecuted. Quite true. So a prosecutor dealing with this set of crimes would likely pick one area to proceed with, and I think that would be torture.
Let me ask you again, though. Big, big picture, why not move on? Not forget it, but you can well imagine how this would tear the country up. I mean, to see high officials sitting in the dock, criminal charges, what's the downside of, talking about it, being angry about it, maybe putting it all out on the table, but not going for criminal prosecution?
Well, this is not about retribution. In fact, it's about the future. We have a country that operates on the basis of precedent. And an administration having adopted these tactics and these tools and put forward these policies, those policies become legitimate options for any president in the future unless we draw a line under that. And in our system, in fact, criminal prosecution is the historical way we've drawn that line. So it's essentially saying, no, we don't want presidents in the future to use torture. We don't want spying on American citizens without observing the procedures that the law fixes for that surveillance.
In your article in Harper's, you cite the example of Augusto Pinochet in Chile. Of course, he was head of state. How high up into the administration are you imagining criminal charges? And of course, others will push back mightily here. But in your vision, how high up might criminal charges go?
Well, I think the Pinochet case is a very interesting one, first of all, because of process. After Pinochet left office in Chile, there was a strong sense that any effort to look behind what happened in his administration would tear the country apart, would destroy the consensus on which Chilean democracy had been reestablished. But 10 years, 20 years, 30 years out, we saw, as the public in Chile learned more and more about what happened, a resolve grow that there should be a prosecution, not only of major implementers, but also, in the end of the day, of Generalissimo Pinochet himself. And I think in our case, too, before we have a prosecution, the first thing that needs to occur is that the public learns the truth of what happened.
But are you talking President Bush? Are you talking Vice President Cheney or down the chain?
I think we need to learn all the facts. I mean, for instance, we know that President Bush made national security findings and issued an executive order that deals with torture. They've never been published. There have been accusations made. In fact, there's an FBI email saying that Bush issued an executive order that authorized specific torture techniques. The White House has insisted that's not so, but it won't release the executive order. I think we need to know the facts. And based on the facts, we can make some determinations about about how accountability should proceed. And, of course, we also have the issue of pardons, and it's up to the president. The president believes that criminal offenses have occurred that there should and there should be no prosecution. The president has the pardon power, and the president can exercise that preemptively.
But, of course, if he does that, it suggests that there was a crime in the first place. The Wall Street Journal today calls this a left-wing crusade. It says the real – this is an editorial – the real – the only point of this quote-unquote truth exercise is to smear Bush administration officials and coax foreign prosecutors into indicting them if Mr. Obama's Justice Department refuses. What do you say?
Well, I think the idea that this is a left-wing crusade is crazy, frankly. In fact, the principal voices raised against torture include religious leaders from the Catholic Church, Protestants, and others, ethical and moral leaders around the country, legal traditionalists in the military, former members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, for instance, and the nation's judge advocates generals have raised their voice on this issue, and they're pushing it quite aggressively. It's not left-right. It's a question of adherence to moral precepts on which the country was founded or their rejection in the interest of political expediency. And I think those precepts are very important. They define America as a country. And we have a new administration coming in which is embracing them. But we still have the question of the future and whether or not the Bush administration and its practices will be allowed to stand as a model for future administrations.
Scott,
that's,
Horton,
of course, what the Wall Street Journal wants.
Please stand by. Scott Horton is with us. His article in Harper's, Justice After Bush Prosecuting an Outlaw Administration. We're talking about whether criminal charges should be brought. We will hear pushback right after the break. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the call for criminal charges against members of the Bush administration. Let's listen for just a moment to the vice president himself. Here he was on Face the Nation, CBS, just last Sunday. Host Bob Schieffer asked whether the president is immune from the law. Cheney answered, in effect, that what the president does is legal as long as he gets away with it.
Do you believe that the president in time of war, that anything he does is legal?
I can't say that anything he does is legal. I think we do, and we have, a historic precedent of taking action that you wouldn't take in peacetime, but that you will take sometimes in wartime in order to do the basic job that you sign up to when you take the oath of office, to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. If you hark back in our history, you can look at Abraham Lincoln, who suspended the writ of habeas corpus in the middle of the Civil War.
But nobody thinks that was legal.
Well, no. Well, it certainly was in the sense he wasn't impeached.
Lincoln did it, and he wasn't impeached, said Vice President Cheney. Schieffer went on. He asked Vice President about torture. He wanted to know why the White House got directly involved in deciding whether or not waterboarding is legal or simply torture.
Why would something like that reach your level, Mr. Vice President?
Well, because the CIA did not want to proceed without having a very clear understanding of what was authorized and what was appropriate. And I'd seen situations before where the CIA would get out and undertake an assignment or a mission and then find that the politicians would all run for the hills, like Iran-Contra. In fact, what we had here was a situation in where the CIA was being very careful and very cautious. They had prisoners like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was the mastermind of 9/11, in custody. Mm-hmm. They wanted to know what kind of techniques they could use going forward and still maintain consistency with the statutes and the international agreements that we're party to.
Consistency with the statutes and international agreements that we're party to, the vice president asserts right there. We have been hearing from Scott Horton, contributing editor at Harper's Magazine, who says it's time for accountability. He means legal accountability. He means, ultimately, criminal prosecution. Let's hear the contrary view. We're joined now from New York by Andrew McCarthy, a former federal prosecutor, now a contributor at the National Review Online. His recent article on the question of prosecutions is titled "The Myth of Bush's Torture Regime, Dissecting the Anatomy of a Smear." Andrew McCarthy was assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. He led the prosecution against Sheikh Omar Abdelrahman for the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, worked on prosecutions of bombers of the U.S. embassies in Kenya, Tanzania, and the Millennium Plot attack on the Los Angeles airport, that plot. Andrew McCarthy in New York, thank you very much for being with us.
Hello?
Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm all right. We'd like to hear your case against the talk of criminal prosecution in the Bush administration.
Well, you know, I think the whole talk about criminal prosecution is actually silly. The the thought, first of all, that it's not about politics and retribution is absurd. The use of the word torture over and over again does not cover up the fact that the techniques that we're talking about are highly dubious whether they meet the standard of torture. And when you're talking about a criminal prosecution as opposed to something entirely different, which is, should Congress be looking at this to make sure that we have the policy right, I entirely agree and sympathize with that. But a professional, competent prosecutor in designing or thinking about whether to take on a criminal case has to take into account such issues as, for example, the vagueness of the statutes that we're talking about, which were considerably more vague prior to 2005 than they were after 2005. The fact that I assume when we're talking about, prosecutions for torture, the technique that we're talking about in terms of being at least closest to the line, and people of good faith, I think, on both sides disagree on this question, is waterboarding. Is that torture or isn't it? Let's assume for the moment that it is. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I accept the good faith of the people who say that it is.
Okay.
The best information that we have about waterboarding, at least that we've been able to see that isn't classified, is that it was done on a handful of prisoners and hasn't been done in over 5 years. If it hasn't been done in over 5 years, the statute of limitations for prosecuting it would have run. The whole idea of gearing up the mechanisms of the Justice Department in order to prosecute something which people feel very strongly about it's dubious from the outset about whether you actually have a case that's prosecutable.
So are you saying if the statute of limitations has run out, there may have been a crime, but it's no longer prosecutable, or there
correct.
Wasn't?
Correct.
But that leaves open the possibility, even you, the defender, are saying that the president, vice president, on down were party to a crime in the first place?
No. I'm not saying that at all. What mm-hmm. I'm saying is, if you are going to attack this by this tactic, mm-hmm. which I think is entirely, in terms of our society and in terms of our government, the wrong way to go about it, namely criminal prosecution, as opposed to aggressive hearings in Congress and the changing of laws and the making of new policy, if you're going to go down this road, you have a couple of problems. Number one, you may have cases that are not legally bringable. Mm-hmm. In the first place, because of the statute of limitations and because of vagueness problems with respect to the statutes. And secondly, if I were on the other side of this debate, and I was, one, my main idea here was in order to set an accurate history of what happened in terms of future policymaking, the worst thing that you could possibly do is that get that question bound up with the separate question of guilt or innocence of particular people.
Much more important
for the country mm-hmm. is to get the policy right.
Let's go at the vagueness issue first, if I may. And if you listen to this tape with us, this is, and of course you know this, everybody knows it well, this is John McCain in the debate over the summer, or I guess it was November 2007,
right.
Mitt Romney, in that debate that was a CNN YouTube hosted, would not say whether waterboarding is torture.
Right.
John McCain came back at him, guns blazing. Let's listen.
Well, Governor, I'm astonished that you haven't found out what waterboarding is.
I know what waterboarding is, Senator.
Then I am astonished that you would think such a torture would be inflicted on anyone in our who we are held captive, and anyone could believe that that's not torture. It's in violation of the Geneva Conventions. It's in violation of existing law. And, Governor, Let me tell you, if we're going to get the high ground in this world and we're going to be America that we have cherished and loved for more than 200 years, we're not going to torture people. We're not going to do what Pol Pot did. We're not going to do what's being done to Burmese monks as we speak.
Republican candidate for the presidency, John McCain, in public debate, he says it's torture, it's in violation of the Geneva Convention, it's in violation of existing law. Is he wrong, Mr. McCarthy?
Yeah, he is. Well, he's at least debatably wrong. And I should preface this by saying, as much as I admire McCain's experience, he's been incoherent for the most part when he speaks about torture. He wrote an article for Time magazine a couple of years back when this was the big issue that he was demagoguing at the time, and in the same breath said, A, torture never works, but B, if we were in a ticking bomb scenario, obviously an interrogator would do what he had to do to get information and rely on the administration not prosecuting him, which of course implicitly means he thinks it works, but he doesn't want us to use it, which is sort of an entirely different thing. You have a very good argument that we shouldn't do waterboarding, but that doesn't obviate the fact that there is legal question about whether waterboarding is actionable, at least prior to 2005, not least of which is the fact that several times it was specifically raised in Congress whether waterboarding should be added to the War Crimes Act as something that was specifically prosecutable, and Congress voted that down each time.
All right. We've got two cases made there. We're going to hear more. I want to hear from our listeners as well. Scott Horton, I'll come to you, but let's get a couple of callers here first from Buckfield, Maine. Anne, you're on the air. What do you think, Anne? What should be done here?
Hi, Mr. Ashbrook. I think that torture is an incredibly important issue, of course, but I think that there are two other important issues which are under investigation for possible criminal violations. One is the destruction of the White House tapes, which were involved with the firing of the U.S. attorneys, and the other is allegations of election fraud by manipulation of electronic machines in the 2000 and 2004 vote in Ohio. There's a Bush IT expert, Michael Connell, who was directly involved in both of these issues. He supposedly was involved in setting up the email system. The non-government domain hosted an email server that was not controlled by the federal government, and up to 500 or so. And also he was involved in supposedly rerouting some votes in Ohio. Now he
So there may be more, but Anne, do you want to see top officials sitting in the dock in a court of law? Would that be good for this country? Could this country take it?
I think that we are a country of laws, and absolutely, that we need to have transparency in our government. I would just like to say about Mr. Connell that he died in a plane crash. He had asked for protective custody. He was deposed the day before the election in connection with vote rigging in Ohio, and he died in a plane crash on December 20th, and I think that that death needs to be investigated along with these other two issues.
And we've got it. Thanks very much. Let me get one from Iowa, Fairfield, Iowa. Don, you're on the air, Don.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm very concerned about the what were called extraordinary renditions, and then people just vanished into secret detention.
That is taking, sending prisoners abroad to be interrogated.
Yes, and kidnapped before they became prisoners. If this had been something that China or Russia had done, we'd have been extremely upset.
Criminal charges against Bush? Do you want to see criminal charges?
I believe that if that's criminal and if it happened, it should be prosecuted. We should have rule of law. This is kidnapping. And then banishing people, that's lack of habeas corpus, which has been part of our law since we were founded as a nation.
Don, thanks for calling. Let me get one more. Sally in Surfside Beach, South Carolina. Sally, what do you say?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I think it's absolutely essential for the healing of this country to hold people accountable, finally, to hold people accountable for what they've done. They're doing that now in Chile. They've been doing it in Mexico. And it's going a long way to changing the view that people have of their government. I think that the accountability is absolutely important. But the other thing that seems really important to me is we've run around the world with a stick talking about democracy, and we have no allies at this point, or few allies at this point. And I think that in teaching the world on how democracy works, this has to be part of it. The accountability has to be part of it.
Do you think Obama will do it with his message of big tent, one America, new politics? Do you think he would actually have his attorney general follow through on this?
I think that if it was the will of the people, he would do it. I think that's part of our democracy.
Sally, thanks very much for calling. Scott Horton, we happen to get three callers in a row there who say go for it, and with more than just the torture front. But Andrew McCarthy's looking at this. He's saying it's vague in the first place on your torture allegation, whether it actually broke the statute, and if it did, statute of limitations, it's over.
Well, you know, it's great for me to hear Andy McCarthy, who is a great federal prosecutor, spinning feverishly as a criminal defense lawyer. I think he has a natural talent at it. But I think he's wrong here. Two very simple points. First of all, he says the statute's vague. It's unclear whether waterboarding is a crime. Well, if that's so, why has it been prosecuted in the United States? We have a long track record of prosecuting waterboarding going back to the Glynn case in 1903.
The Philippines.
We have a whole series of prosecutions that occurred at the end of World War II in 1946. In some cases, prosecutors, including U.S. prosecutors, seeking and obtaining the death penalty for its application. We have a court-martial from 1968. There's plenty of direct precedent on this. And then with respect to the statute of limitations, it's a war crime. If this is committed as a war crime and a fatality occurs in connection with it, and we have more than 100 deaths occurred in detention, more than 20 connected directly to this new highly coercive program that Bush introduced, there is no statute of limitations. That's a clear point of law. So I think if this were being prosecuted at the level of introduction of policy, there is no applicable statute of limitations, but the residual here would be 8 years, and we still have plenty of time. So I think both of those objections, while I think very, very sharp for him to come up with them, I don't think they're going to fly at the end of the day.
And what about Andrew McCarthy?
Yes,
Andrew.
Yeah, that's cute. The first point on all these waterboarding charges, all these waterboarding prosecutions, I defy Scott to come up with a single instance where somebody has been prosecuted straight up for waterboarding without other instances of torture-type conduct in the case. There are no cases where you have had a straight up or down prosecution on waterboarding. It just hasn't happened.
But we've got plenty of other kind of interrogation.
I'm not saying for a moment that if you have a situation where you have something that is actually meets the definition of torture and someone's been killed, that can't be prosecuted or that it shouldn't be prosecuted. I would actually, I join Scott in calling for that to be prosecuted. What I'm referring to is what we know about, which is three incidents of waterboarding, which, so far as we know, haven't been repeated since 2003. That's the facts as we know them.
Scott, does that matter? Are you saying if it's designated as a war crime, there's no statute of limitations?
No, there are specific statute of limitations for specific war crimes, grave breaches of the Geneva Conventions. But if death results, there's no statute of limitations. And here we have the introduction of a program, which included things other than waterboarding. It also included long-time standing, sleep deprivation, the administration of psychotropic drugs, all things which have been described by the United States officially as torture when done by other nations. And we have programs that involve the combination of these different things, and we have deaths resulting from that.
Maybe you could ask which of those are listed in the war crime statute as war crimes.
We'll come back and look at that and much more. Andrew McCarthy in New York, Scott Horton in New York. When we come back, we'll hear about maybe a third way here in this issue. We're talking about the call for criminal charges against members of the Bush administration. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Been joined by Scott Horton, contributing editor at Harper's Magazine, distinguished visiting professor at Hofstra Law School. He says it's time for legal accountability. Andrew McCarthy is with us, former federal prosecutor. He was right in the middle of prosecuting the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and much more. He says, no, not the right way to go. We'll hear in a moment from a third voice who says there may be, should be, a middle way, but first to our callers. Tim in Moline, Illinois. You're on the air, Tim. What do you think?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I don't think that it should be a question of whether we're going to tear the country apart. We have put plenty of public officials on the stand. I think more of the question is, can they prove a case? It comes down to the prosecutors of whether they can prove a case or not. They should be the ones to decide whether there's credible evidence. If they can't, then it's a waste of money, and we shouldn't pursue it.
We got it, Tim, loud and clear. Let me go to George in Boston. George, what do you say?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I think the first thing we should do is ask these callers if they have family members in the military and if they're on the front lines. And then also ask them if lives were saved using these techniques.
You mean callers saying prosecute?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm against prosecution because I think this is just a witch hunt is all it is. They're looking for somebody to blame for something that they really don't know anything about or much about, because if they did, you know, it would hurt the country, because I think a lot of this has to be something that has to be done, whether it's, you know, whether it hurts somebody or not.
Witch hunt, you say, George, and we've got it. Let me go to another call here, Waterford, Connecticut. Donna, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, what do you think?
I think absolutely there should be a prosecution. I'm a veteran.
Of what service, Donna?
In the Navy, U.S. Navy.
Mm-hmm.
I was a diver. I risked my life many times. And I put my hand up and swore to defend the Constitution. I am huge on that. And I don't think that this would divide and hurt the country. I think that to prosecute would heal. I have one little litmus test that I run through my head about some things, some extreme things, and it's the Rodney King situation. And it's like,
I'm sorry, I missed that, Donna. What about Rodney King?
That the litmus test for me like that is that with the Rodney King tapes, before they started parsing and dividing and et cetera, was that I know what I saw. I saw somebody beaten. And in this case, I know, and I've been keeping track all these years, these people have committed crimes.
Are you talking on the torture allegation, Donna, or something else?
I'm talking on torture. I'm talking on the Constitution, which I think has been really, really abused.
Donna, we've got it, and we thank you. Let me get one more here. Helen in Terryville, Connecticut. You're on the air.
All right. I absolutely abhor torture. However, I do think that the people should not be persecuted, those in the government, but they should be made, the whole country should be made very more aware of it. And I do have a criticism of one of the persons who said that we had never in our history had torture as part of the program. However, right after the Civil War, I was also really upset one day when I heard on television and saw a special on how the Southern soldiers who were captured were put in a concentration camp without warm clothing, just whatever they had on, not given the blankets, not fed properly, and many, many, many of them died during this.
Well, POWs from both sides suffered there. But what are you saying? In wartime, bad things happen, so never mind?
No, I don't mean never mind. I do mean that the awareness of people should be brought up to a heightened level. But I do not think they should be persecuted because prosecuted, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Because bad things, yes, are done. And we do want to prevent our country from doing these things again. And maybe the press should be doing what you are doing.
Maybe there's another way, not criminal prosecution, you say. Helen, thank you very much for that. Let's get a perspective on exactly that front. From Washington, Charles Homans joins us, editor at the Washington Monthly, in an article in the November-December issue titled Last Secrets of the Bush Administration, How to Find Out What We Still Don't Know. Charles Homans, thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
One of your headlines here is, forget the subpoenas. I guess that means don't prosecute, in your view. Why not? And if not, then what?
Well, Tom, I think, you know, first off, I'm not necessarily opposed on principle to sending people to jail over this. But I think you have to look at, you know, when we're talking about an investigative commission, we're really talking about several different things that tend to get intertwined and I think obscure each other. One is...
Is that what you're calling for? A one big general commission on all these angles?
It's one thing I'm calling for. But I think that the important thing to keep in mind is that we actually need a number of different tools to, you know, find out exactly what did happen over the past 8 years. Some of those are tools that we have already. And some of them are tools that we may need to create. And in that case, I would say yes. You know, some form of commission would be very useful.
To do what exactly? And to what end?
Well, I think, you know, we heard from several callers there who had, I think, demonstrated kind of nicely that there is this conflicted understanding over what exactly happened. You know, we heard from a caller who brought up the issue of, you know, anybody who's in favor of prosecution should ask, you know, what if these techniques had saved lives? We don't know that because the information is not fully out there. And I think the key aim of any sort of commission or, you know, whatever tool we choose to use needs to be to create a full record of what exactly happened and, you know, what use that may have served, what use it may not have served.
Scott Horton, you too are calling for a kind of, I don't know, truth commission. You say it could take a couple years. It could take decades. So are you really chomping at the bit to get criminal charges and prosecution out there, or are you on the same page as Charles saying, you know, what we need here is truth and light and sunlight and transparency about what happened, and whether we get to prosecution or not so important?
I'm pretty close to Charles on this issue, actually. You know, in my view, the American public needs to know exactly what happened. It's now part of our history. We need to know in detail what decisions were taken, what was done, who is responsible for these decisions. So getting the truth out there really needs to be the first thing. And I think once we're better informed about what happened, then we can form some decisions as to the kind of accountability that needs to occur. So I'm definitely not chomping at the bit for bringing prosecutions tomorrow. And I also agree with your caller, Tim, about the process that's involved here. Process is key. Andy McCarthy knows that. It's key that you have a credible prosecutor who conducts an investigation and forms independent judgments as to what crime should be charged and who should be a defendant. Now, I don't think that process should be politically dictated. I think an independent prosecutor needs to exercise discretion in making those judgments.
Andrew McCarthy, do you see room for something here that may shy of criminal prosecution, but an independent, well, prosecutor still sounds like prosecution, or some kind of truth commission, or is that the wrong road, Andrew?
Well, that sounds, I think, like, if I wasn't clear enough on this, I apologize, but that sounds what I thought I said at the beginning. I was not saying, and I don't for a moment say, that this is an unimportant part of history, that we shouldn't know exactly what happened.
Your story is headlined, The Myth of Bush's Torture Regime, Dissecting the Anatomy of a Smear. That makes it sound wrong and unimportant.
Because I think to suggest that the president put in a systematic torture regime is a smear. To say that that is true and therefore we can just move along and don't need to be concerned about this is ridiculous. I'm not saying that for a second. It is important in terms of policy and just getting it right. I contend, and I know Scott doesn't agree with this because we went back and forth on it, but I contend that there's still vagueness about whether we can do waterboarding or not because, you know, yet again, the last time that was teed up for the Senate, they wouldn't take a firm position on it. So you have half the senators saying, well, it's already covered by the statute, and you have the other half of the senators saying, well, you know, no, it's not. It's not listed in the war crime statute. And people who are left to implement the law still are not doing it with firmness and certainty. I think we need to get the policy right. My point is the way you get the policy right
is to do it through some kind of a fact-finding commission. Now, in my view, that's what Congress is for. I don't know why they would need to delegate someone else to do it. But whether they did or not, that would be a far sight better than doing it by criminal prosecution, where, you know, the fact is we know, for example, historically, that Al Capone is one of the great racketeers of all time. The criminal justice system was able to make him a tax cheat. What you accomplish by prosecution in terms of the greater picture is not always an accurate picture of what it is you're trying to diagnose.
Scott Horton, how about it? If you're the great, you know, dragon for prosecution and you're saying a fact-finding commission is enough, does that mean nobody's really going to do this and all this is a lot of breastfeeding?
No, it means process is key here, and establishing the facts needs to occur first. So it's a question of sequencing.
Won't everybody just lawyer up and clam up and take the fifth? And I mean, where do you get with that?
No, there's a serious risk of that. I mean, if we look at congressional investigations that have occurred in the past, you know, we get people working out deals with committees to testify, and then we see that being cited as a reason to get them off the hook when they're later convicted. I mean, that's happened frequently, or that's happened several times in recent Washington history. So we have procedural complications, but I really think, you know, establishing the historical record, the truth, is the most important thing. And the legal accountability is also important, but it follows a step behind it. And I also think that, you know, that accountability decision, those prosecutorial decisions, shouldn't be taken in a context that involves political pressuring and prejudgment. It's very, very important that we use our professional apparatus, that we have seasoned prosecutors who handle it. And I think, you know, when we have a prosecutor appointed to look at this, I think it needs to be a special prosecutor. And I think, frankly, in the Obama administration, they should look for someone who's identifiably a Republican but respected by everyone to make these determinations. That would give it legitimacy. And a prosecutor might very well decide there are no crimes to be charged or prosecuted here. You know, I'll leave that up as an issue. A prosecutor would have to look at this as a prosecution in the first instance. I think Andy's right about that.
Charles Hummonds, you're saying a truth exercise here. The Wall Street Journal says today the only point of this truth exercise is to smear Bush administration officials and coax foreign prosecutors into indicting them if Mr. Obama's Justice Department refuses. Do you see that as coming out of some kind of truth commission, Charles?
Well, I think trying to cast this in any sort of, you know, partisan light is flatly untrue. I mean, you have extremely intelligent conservatives calling for something similar for the simple reason that they want to extract their own political beliefs from what has, you know, become, you know, sort of shorthand for circumventing the law over the last 8 years. So I don't think, you know, I think it may be a problem for, you know, some subsets of that group, but I don't think that by and large it is necessarily a partisan issue or a smearing issue. I think it's a matter of establishing a real record of what happened, which is, you know, if you need some sort of official record if you're going to move forward with legislation to keep this kind of thing from happening again.
Let me get a couple more calls. Tony in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Well, what do you think?
I think this is, we need to keep in mind that 9/11 happened. I do not agree that the Bush administration should have any charges filed against them. These people are terrorists. They do not have a uniform. They are not, they wave a white flag and then blow you up. Their uniform is a bomb jacket, you know. And I just think that we need to keep that in mind, that if you're defending terrorists, you're not truly a patriot of this country.
Tony, we've got the perspective, and our time is short. Let me get one more. Rosalie in Kirksville, Missouri.
Yes, hi, Tom.
Hi.
Quickly, I just want to add my voice to the grassroots public who believes that this should be prosecuted or at least investigated so that we show the world that we aren't torturers and we're not shallow and I think.
What about Tony's perspective? He says these are terrorists. They wave a white flag and blow you up. Their uniform is a bomb jacket.
Well, terrorists, you know, a lot of people could be called terrorists. And people who are misleading us as a country and creating mistrust, I call that a mental terrorism. So I think it should be looked into very seriously by our new government, and I just hope that our voices are being heard because we're not getting this information in the mainstream press, which is causing a lot of mistrust, and division.
Rosalie, thank you very much for your call from Missouri. Scott Horton, what's your response to Tony? You know, many people will listen and think like Rosalie. Many others will think like Tony. This was an unorthodox war, an unorthodox enemy. They did what they had to do. Forget about prosecution.
Well, I come from a military family, and I think our traditions and the way we behave and the way we deal with prisoners is a very proud part of America's tradition. It involved George Washington, involved Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, and others. And I think what happened in the last administration has been a serious stain on that tradition, a stain on the nation's honor. And I think we need to act to restore our tradition and our dignity. And I think that that requires some introspection and it requires some accountability. So I don't view this as being about the terrorists or whoever our adversaries are. It's about us and our traditions.
Well, it's sitting on the table awaiting the incoming Obama administration and will be fascinating to see how it all unfolds. Scott Horton wrote the big piece for Harper's Magazine. Scott, thank you very much for being with us this hour.
Great to be with you.
Andrew McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, writing recently in the National Review Online. Mr. McCarthy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
And Charles Hummonds with the Washington Monthly, Last Secrets of the Bush Administration, his piece. Charles, thank you for joining the conversation.
Thanks, Tom. It's a pleasure.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.